Okay.
Okay, listeners, you heard it here.
Yeah.
Mercedes needs to give a rooster away.
Raise your hand if you need a rooster.
All my roosters, so I have just two, but the two rooster boys are so sweet. Sometimes they can be mean, but not these guys. Just like my boys at home.
Oh my gosh. Like too much.
Yo-yo.
Too much. Okay, you guys, Mercedes' favorite part of the episode. Enough about this. Let's shout some words and shift the narrative to people with Down syndrome. Today, the three of us gals are going to be chatting about inclusion in the church. That's a light one.
Wow.
I'm sure we're all very in a really good, healthy spot with nothing to unpack here. Mm-hmm. Just health and goodness. We're going to tackle this topic, though, as best we can. And it's time to get into it. Welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. All right, Lucky Few podcast listeners, who wants to step up in the advocacy space? I know I do. Who wants to hang out with me and my entire family next April in Washington, D.C.? Hands also go up. Well, I'm excited to let you know that the National Down Syndrome Society is proud to present the Down Syndrome Advocacy Conference, which takes place in Washington, D.C., April 17th to the 19th, 2023. So mark those calendars. This is an event for every single person in your family, for people with Down syndrome and those who love them of all ages. It's also going to be in partnership with Advocacy Partner and the National Down Syndrome Congress. You don't need any previous experience in policy or advocacy to participate. Scholarships are available. To learn more, you go to www.ndss.org/DSAC. I hope to see you there. Okay, Mercedes, we know about bunnies and chickens.
Yes.
I'm going to have Josh edit out all the bunny part, but we'll keep the chicken part in. Oh my gosh. Micah, you're back in school. Finally. Bless.
No joke.
How's school going?
It's good. I just was desperate at the end there. The last 2 weeks of August, I was like, why are these people still in my house?
Yes.
And when do I get a schedule in my life again? So yes. I'm feeling really good just to have my work time and my alone time and all of those things, and to feel like my children are not just living lives of chaos. So it feels good.
Isn't it funny how leading up to summer, though, it feels like that? Like, two more weeks of school. I don't even think we can handle this. I can't wait for summer. And I wonder if this is just how we function, or if there's a time frame in which that's not the case. Like if we had ended school 2 weeks sooner, would we be like perfect timing, or started school 2 weeks sooner, or would it happen no matter what?
How many weeks are there of summer in general? Is it 10 weeks, 8 weeks?
I'm getting out my phone.
All I know is what Phineas and Ferb say.
Oh.
104 days of summer vacation and school comes around just to end it. Are you guys not Phineas and Ferb fans?
This is the first time I've heard this in my whole life.
I never watched that.
You guys. Okay,
well, I watched a couple of episodes, but we're not diehard. We're still in like Octonauts and
Yeah. Okay. When everybody gets like Mercedes in your house, when everyone is like a little out of Octonauts phase and Phineas and Ferb is sweet and good, and it's got a little ring of like sarcastic, funny, ironic humor, and it's my favorite of all the cartoons.
Okay,
we're gonna try it then.
Yeah.
We had 9 weeks off, but we have a schedule where we have a little shorter summer because we have 2 weeks at spring break and 3 weeks at Christmas break. So I think it is. I think 10 weeks
is the general
break time. So if it was eight weeks,
maybe.
And then all of a sudden we're like, perfect timing. I don't think that's how our brains, I don't think that's how we work as humans.
Right.
I think that's not how we work, but maybe.
Okay, we'll try it. We do know that 109 days is too long, Phineas and Ferb.
There you go.
It is too much summer.
Also, we're not going to try it. No one cares about our suggestions for school calendars. I don't know if you knew this.
What is wrong with them?
It's really hard to change things strictly. So I don't think summer they'll give us any time or our input on that.
No, definitely not. Dang. But if anybody does wonder where the solutions are to most of the world's problems, it's the three of us chatting at the beginning of a podcast. So
that's right.
Right. I don't know if this is a easy question or not, Heather, but how's it been going? You've been in school for like half a year already. Just
yeah, kidding. We've already
been like 2 months. 2 months.
Feels how's like it. We've been back for a month, which feels like it's been an entire school year. In a nutshell, good. August is doing great. So thank the Lord above for that. Yeah. And a good lawyer. August has an amazing teacher, and what he needs is in place. So I'm so, so grateful. Truly is in middle school. And so it's middle, it's sixth grade, adolescence. It's a whole vibe. And she's awesome. And aww. She is talking to us still about everything, and she's figuring it out in that it's just all new people. Yeah. And yeah. It's hard to find your people, especially when you're that age and your brain, mm-hmm. your frontal lobe is still very underdeveloped. And then Macy just started her quote class to class to class. So this is her first full week of class to class to class, meaning she's not in the living skills class anymore. She's going six periods. Yeah. And she's liking it. Yeah. It's a lot. Like, I don't think that the right supports are in place. I think we need an extra person.
Okay.
That isn't on the team. If you're listening, team members, some of them do. I'll say it in the meeting too. And I said it in our last IP meeting. So she's getting it. I don't know. I don't know what her days look like, but at the end of the day, her aide says it was a pretty good day. And then Macy's not much one for words. So I don't,
I'm just happy to be home. Okay.
Yeah. She's just, how was your day? Fine, mom.
Cutie.
Yeah.
But she did. I saw the video of last week where she, what did she say to you in the call to you about how she did it?
Oh yeah. Her first day. It was something very sweet. Like, how was your day? She does this like self-talk, like has the full conversation. So how was your day? It was good. And she was all giggling cute on her first day. So she's doing good.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so today I'm just feeling very, very grateful. It's such a game changer when our kids are doing good in school.
Yeah. Yes. Amazing. we started middle school over here too. Brooks is sixth grade.
Oh yes, that's right.
And he's in a brand new school and riding the school bus for the first time in his life and changing classes. And he's on a football team and has been sitting with his teammates at lunch. So
I love it.
I was teasing him about turning into a jock.
Jock table.
It's a jock table in sixth grade.
Oh, I love that.
So that's cool. And then Ace is, he's included in a general ed second grade class this year. And so we're still, you know, we're 4 days in. So mm-hmm. we'll see how that's going. But I've had really good communication with, it's like a double teacher class. I don't know what that's called.
Great.
Two teachers teaching, and then he's got his aide. And then he is being pulled out for some academics mm-hmm. to go to the class he was in last year. So
that's good.
We'll see.
So good. Truly tried out for the volleyball team and didn't make it. And I'm like, I'm super confused.
I love that she tried out, and I'm bummed that she didn't make it.
But here's what's confusing about it. I get like people play AYS, so there's other sports, but I don't know, where do you join a volleyball team at 11 years old? Like, when was she going to know how to play volleyball? And so why is there not like a B team where you just get to learn a sport? Cause you're 11. Is that weird?
There should totally be a B team. And I'll tell you this, I played volleyball all through elementary. They had like a program in my hometown for girls, and it was just a girl sport for some reason. Huh. But I still only made the B team all through middle school. But I played every year.
I just thought it was weird. Like, you've never done this before. Give it your best. You didn't make it. Where do you get to learn it? Anyway, it's middle school. We're not like going to college. I have a hard time with organized sports. Anyways.
Ever a sport that seemed more terrifying to me. It is volleyball. People are spiking that as hard as they can over the net.
But Mercedes,
everything is head high. Head.
It's all coming out your head.
I need Macy to choose something different anyways. That is crazy.
I'm telling you, there is no spiking in sixth grade. Maybe at Truly School, that's why she didn't make it, but there's no spiking in sixth grade. It's all just girls staring at each other and the ball hitting the ground.
So how did she not make it? Just kidding. It's fine. She's not going to make all the things. I just feel like at 11 years old, there should be a place to learn a thing, right? To learn a sports skill at school. Anyways, neither here nor there. Merce, how is school going with your children?
Oh, goodness. We're still kind of starting too. Just starting. They're doing great. I'm excited to have a schedule. And Sunny is doing awesome things Mondays, which is so great. The boys go to their 2-day heart program. And then Sunny has just picked up PT and in-person speech. So that was huge. And OT. So I take her and Brave to that. Like, we have just a full schedule. She's going to do musical theater, dance, and basketball. That's going to be her sport this semester. Rhodes is doing fall ball. Sheppy's doing hip hop. We've got a schedule, which is really fun. And it's, I feel very mom. I'm like, okay, here's my calendar. Everybody get in the van. Oh, I'm running places. Well, I'm on.
Get it, girl. I
know. This kid goes there. I've got a calendar. It's shared with Andy. Like, we're all growing up over here.
Oh, shoot. I love that.
I do want to, I'm going to dive us in because I can. First, I'll start off with reading a sweet review from Kaylee Childs, who says, I love the variety of topics discussed. They touch on so many things that I wonder about as a mom of a son with Down syndrome. You also feel part of a larger community, which helps me not feel so alone in my journey. Mm-hmm. I love that, Kaylee. That's how I feel too. I'm blessed to know you two ladies and then the greater listeners, and Instagram helps keep you connected. Facebook. I do love that part about social media, right? Like, you can connect far and wide, and it's really beautiful to feel like you have support in place when maybe you don't have that, like down the street or like from a neighbor or in your city. So that's pretty cool. If you guys out there would also like to leave a review, we would love that. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and we may share it in our next episode, which could be fun. So you guys will start the topic, but I'm kind of going head first because it's been in the forefront of my mind. And I wanted to jump into our topic because my boys go to a really, really awesome program. And I was dabbling with Sunny also being a part of this 2-day awesome program that's faith-based. And, you know, she got turned down, guys. And they said, but we're praying about it.
Oh, no.
Oh,
we're praying about it.
Okay. And,
you know, bless. Like, oh, I really love this program. And I'm going to keep my boys in it. And I'm going to be room mom. And I'm going to be part of it. And that is just not, I didn't say this to them because I didn't have time to say it. But if they prayed about it, Jesus would say, of
here's
course,
the answer.
You're the only one stopping this situation.
Oh,
the God I know and serve would say that. He's like, yeah, it's fine. Go right ahead. And, you know, and it was more like, I'm praying about the right doors, the right people to be put in place and blah, blah, blah. And then in my head, in a way, I'm like, okay, good. Is there an application out there for that person? Like, let me know the process that you started. Cause also Jesus won't put that person all of a sudden out of nowhere in place. Like, he can, But also, we're not supposed to just sit around. If you're really praying about it, there's feet on the ground, there's your hands, there's motion, right? So I have seen that and heard that when it comes to the faith community as a whole.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yes, Mercedes. I feel like I know. I think Mike and I are both just like, I want to say sorry. Like the times my kid has been rejected by what in my opinion should be the last place to find rejection, it just stings. And I'm so sorry that you're in that. And it's a hard one. It's a doozy. We've had quite a few listeners reach out and want us to talk on this topic. I think it's fair to say we're all in our own unique faith journey, but we all come from a Christian background. Is that fair to say, Micah and Mercedes? Yeah. Okay. So just so our listeners know that I think we all have a lot of shared faith perspective. And so we're not coming at it from like a lot of different angles, just so everyone knows. It's a little, it's our experience.
And I think it's important just to say, we know we have listeners who aren't Christian out there, and we would love for you to be part of this conversation too. So we're coming at it from our experiences, which all includes the Christian church. But we know that there are our listeners who are Muslim and Hindu and Jewish. And if you're out there, or if you're agnostic and you're not a church person, I would hope that you can get something out of this conversation as well, because so much of it is coming into spaces where we want our kids to feel included, and we want to talk about how to do that. So we're going to talk about it specifically from this angle today.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, Mercedes, it is such a good jumping off point, because this is one avenue where you're experiencing this, but I think in church spaces in general, this has been my experience. I think Mike has had similar experiences. So then why don't we start with, what is the perception of disability in church spaces? Like what have you guys found to be the perception of disability in the church?
Well, I think, we can start with what Mercedes just said.
Yeah.
Disability is a problem that we need to pray about, and that comes from so many different angles. There's the angle that you find of we're praying that your kid doesn't have Down syndrome when you are pregnant and you've gotten a prenatal diagnosis. There's the praying, there are places, and I didn't experience this, but I have had friends who've experienced this, where they are living with their actual child with Down syndrome, and someone in the church or someone outside of the church comes up and says, I want to pray for your child's healing from Down syndrome.
I was going to say healing.
That's happened to me twice. Yeah.
Dang. And so, I think there's a basic understanding that this is a problem and maybe God will fix it.
Mm-hmm. I also think I have found that, and now things are changing. They are changing. We're baby steps though. Things are changing that I have found, but I almost would feel like because it, for some reason, wouldn't be so common that people with disabilities weren't even thought about. Unless that family came to church and said something or spoke about, or said, hey, this is my kid. We need this and this and this. Oh, okay. Almost like surprise to have any kind of plan in place, right? Yeah. Or almost caught off guard. And also when it comes to Sunday morning, so many things are volunteer based, right? So there was always been that struggle too for me, that I dropped off Sunny one time and it was an older woman. She was like, okay, so, but please let me know what her focus is. I think I've shared this before.
Yeah.
Her focus. Okay, let's think. She likes music. I don't know. I've never heard this term before, focus, but I think that was her way of being like, should she get out of hand, or have an episode? How can I bring her back? And that isn't Sunny's struggle. And I remember another time I came back and Sunny was just in the little walker the whole time, she was 3 years old. They had placed her in a walker and just had her there the whole time. So I just feel like too, it's a tough one, because so much of a church is run on volunteers. So like, it would really, like, it's really up to the church to have a system in place that specifically is having a section that talks about when we have attendees with disabilities, when we have children come into our children's ministry. Like, it's like preparation that I think just still doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to, but it still was like a back burner, or like kind of mm-hmm. like once someone joins our congregation with a disability, that's when we'll address it.
Mm-hmm.
If that person is loud enough to like say, hey, we need to address it. If that person is bold enough to say that, but they're not necessarily going to go out of their way, just like Jesus did, to say, hey,
mm-hmm.
this is already in place. Hey, the least will be first. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's yeah. so bizarre to me, actually, that it's not in place, that it's not thought of until a family brings it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I find myself in a situation with our, like, we're in a new church and it's a pretty small church. And so we are the first disability family with a disability coming in, and I'm
wild.
It's a new kind of, I mean, it's the same kind of space of advocacy I had at our former church, because we were also really the first child. I think there was an autistic boy before us, but ACEs was more obvious. And so I'm like meeting right now. I was last night like flipping through Pinterest, looking for ways we can help ACE in the Sunday school classroom, like engage with the curriculum. And, you know, it does become your job as the, mm-hmm. as the parent to advocate and make sure that they're getting something out of that time. But then like I flip the switch. I'm the co-youth pastor at the same church, and we don't have any middle school and high school kids with disabilities. Mm. And I haven't thought through how we would make it a space where middle school and high schoolers with disabilities would feel safe and welcome and yeah. be able to engage the curriculum. So it is kind of one of those, like, maybe it's okay to learn as you go. Maybe the bigger thing is openness and willingness to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Oh gosh, you guys. Yeah. We're at a tiny little church, and Josh and I, and our kids are the only ones there with obvious disabilities. I think there's actually a lot of neurodiversity at our church. But it is interesting how the church has not been intentional in creating spaces of belonging. And that I think that, I don't know where it happened. I'm not like digging deep into theological history and things. I'll admit that. But there's such a hierarchy of person in the church mindset, which is totally the opposite of what God intended for us, I think. And when Jesus came to earth, like, Jesus's whole thing was like to do away with all of that. But here we are with this hierarchy of human, mm-hmm. and we feed into that, even like Christian celebrityism, which is such a real thing, mm-hmm. which I think exists as a microcosm in your own personal church, depending on the yeah. leadership. And even like certain people are allowed to be at the church as is, and other people, if they come, you can come as you are. But if you are fill in the blank LGBTQ, there is still like a looked at as less than mm-hmm. if you were not in certain church communities, not all. But disability, I think, falls in that category. And that the church, I don't think doesn't take the time to recognize that how much society's ideas and our culture's ideas affect the church in that, like, ableism. I think we can go back in so many of our conversations. Foundationally, it is ableism. Mm-hmm. The church is built upon that idea. So it's not like a let's do A through F to fix this. No, we have to break the whole thing down, rip up the foundation, get new soil, start again. If we want to see some real change happen, and how can we, if we are in relationship and proximity and relationship with people with disabilities, mm-hmm. why are there not, and kids ministry is one thing, but wait a second, why are there not disabled people serving as, like, why are there no elders who are disabled? Mm-hmm. Why is there no one preaching with a disability
right.
or speaking, or why are there not people in all of the areas serving in their spiritual way, having their spiritual gifts fostered in every age? why are we not doing this? And I truly, truly believe, like, I think about my kids with Down syndrome, and again, this is different for different disabilities, and I don't know where the lines are drawn, and I don't think it's ours to draw lines, but that my kids with Down syndrome were created intentionally with Down syndrome, I believe. It wasn't sin. It wasn't a mistake. It was God's goodness and love and grace and mercy that said every chromosome, well, or every cell has an extra chromosome and reflects the image of God. This is my personal belief. And so if we're not around people, all different kinds of people, then we're missing out on the fullness of God. And I think I can see that so much in our church system in the United States, that we're not learning from people who are different than us. And therefore we're missing out on who God is. And if we're missing out on that, then of course we're not creating spaces of belonging. Like, of course the church is missing it. I just think mm-hmm. they're missing it. And I think it's obvious and it's sad and heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree. I feel like there needs to be so much growth in that area and so much more uplifting of adults with disability, because that's such a good point, Heather, that why aren't there like teens and adults there with disabilities? Because, and I'm shocked by that also, because, you know, post like past like high school, there's a lot of free time mm-hmm. when you're a young adult or older adult with disabilities, right? Like I know that, we know that. So it is interesting to me that, like, I don't know, church isn't a place that adults who believe in God, who are faith, who are Christian, show up to on Sunday morning, you know, another place of fellowship, of creating community. And I know, so I got started with this community because there was a place, it was like a separate thing though, right? Like it was the disabilities ministry and it was Lighthouse, and we met every Monday evening, which I also think that's important too, because it was a really great place to let your guard down. This was an intentional space for people with disabilities to go to build their own community, because for some reason, Sunday morning, it's so weird, right? Because it's the same within school systems. Like there's the special ed and then there's general ed. And for some people that works, for some that doesn't work, that kind of thing. Where is the combining? Because I know a lot of churches in my area who have a special needs ministry and it's still kind of a separate ministry, or it's a ministry that meets at a separate time, mm-hmm. you know, and there still seems to be like, oh, there needs to be a bridge. Or if this doesn't suit what a family wants for their kid or what an adult or young adult wants for themselves, like, is there an opportunity for both? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, but I do know that there is some movement. I have a friend, Michelle Eastman, who has cerebral palsy, who I was her like buddy when we'd go to camp, me and my best friend, Mandy. They're triplets. And two of them have cerebral palsy. One is in a wheelchair. And then Michelle has a little bit more, she's more able-bodied. And so she is now like dedicated to ministry, special needs ministry mm-hmm. within the church. This is like her focus. She wrote her college paper on it and everything like that. And she is hoping to go far in that and be a person who creates curriculum, creates like a formal, like, hey, churches, this is a whole set for you to do. Like, you don't have to worry about reinventing the wheel. And she is, I love it because she is a person with a disability mm-hmm. helping to create this. She also has one of her triplets who's wheelchair bound, who would probably be the person most intimidating for a congregation to receive in, mm-hmm. you know, and prepare for. She's lived that life. It's just really beautiful. And I hope she goes far in it. And she's paving a way. She's being a trailblazer. But it's just why it's still baffling to me in 2022 that someone's trailblazing that within the church, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And it does seem like that, like there's kind of this savior complex that gets perpetuated in the church. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of why we have these special needs ministries that are separate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I grew up in a church that had both a special needs ministry and a deaf ministry. And I have shared here about how formative those things were for me to be around people with differences and to worship alongside people with differences. And everyone was worshiping together in the sanctuary, and then separated for classes. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think that this Christian savior complex of like, we able-bodied Christians are going to take care of these poor people with disabilities because Jesus wants us to, is one side of a complicated coin. I don't know. Like I think it's based on this deeper problem of how we see people with disabilities, like Heather was saying about just tearing up the whole foundation of ableism in our culture so that we can start over. You know, I think you go back to the way that even, and this is getting a little complicated, but the way that even the church thinks about what it means to be a Christian mm-hmm. is so often around like intellectual understanding and being able to say you believe like that you believe these certain facets of a creed, or that you can explain who Jesus is to you. Mm-hmm. And then if you can do those things, you're good. And like you're set with your faith. And so when the church starts thinking about especially people with intellectual disabilities who may not even be able to communicate whether or not they believe in Jesus or understand what Jesus means or understand all these levels of, you know, doctrine that are taught in the church, there's becomes this same thing that we see in culture all around us. Like the people who can understand things because we're a culture built on thinking, like these are the ones that we like the most. And here's the rest of our hierarchy. The people who don't understand don't matter as much. Mm-hmm. And I think that plays out in the church too. And I think that's where it becomes these two kind of either there's like that, like you don't understand, so you don't belong with us, or like the flip side of like, you don't understand. And so we're going to like have a special ministry for you. And we're going to pat ourselves on the back. And I feel like I'm being totally negative, which is not to say that there are not amazing places in the church that are doing this well and welcoming people in, but
it's pretty rare.
It is rare.
It's pretty rare. It's
built on this idea of like, if you can't understand, if you don't get it, then you can't really lead here, or you can't really be a disciple. You can't really be a person who's leading.
Yeah. Yeah. It can get real complicated, but I don't know that it needs to be. I think that I talk a lot about like foundationally, how do we create spaces of belonging? Like how does the church foundationally be a place where people with disabled people and their families feel welcomed there? Like that sense of belonging, you feel it. It's something you feel. It's not something that you say. Right? You either feel it or you don't. I think we all can have experiences. Our kids have had experiences like that, where they walk into space and they feel that they belong there. They don't. And in my opinion, the church should be the first place people feel that sense of belonging. And I think that we just overcomplicate a lot of it. And it's not about like not having a disability ministry. I think of it in terms of, did you create the ministry to support and serve people with disabilities, or to make everyone else feel comfortable, more comfortable, mm-hmm. right? Like you've got to be willing to have some self-awareness around the decisions you're making as a church and in leadership, and be honest with those conversations. I can think of so many stories of, I've spoken at a bunch of different churches. I just spoke 2 days ago at a conference about belonging, and there were church people in the space, and that's a big thing. Like, so what, should we not have a disability ministry? And it's like, well, that's not really the question, in my opinion. Like the question is, where is your heart? The people who are making the decisions, what do you truly believe about disabled people? Like, do you see them as fully human? Can you see the intrinsic value and worth in them with a disability? Can you see them as image bearers of God as disabled people? And if you can't, that's the starting point. You know, like, can you see goodness in who they are with a disability? I think if you do, and I think all of it, I've been transformed in that with Mason and August as my kids. That's where the foundation, we lay the foundation there. And then as you build on that foundation, some of these like details are worked out in that foundation because your intentions are right when it comes to the actions around supporting disabled people in a church space.
That's so good, Heather, and so hard.
Yeah.
I think people are not always even sure aware of what their intentions are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it can be both sometimes at the same time. There can be intentions of wanting people with disabilities to belong and also intentions of wanting to protect everybody else from being uncomfortable. And
totally.
It's hard. It's tricky. I think too, in the church, there needs to be intentions of wanting to provide people with disabilities with a vibrant and flourishing spiritual life.
Yeah.
And believing that that matters for them and just as it matters for everybody else. And it's not just a like, you know, get the people with disabilities in a room and let them play so that everybody else can go on and have their spiritual conversation. But yeah. Believing like God's at work in their lives too.
Mm-hmm.
And they have something to give.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot for them to gain too from having spiritual lives, learning spiritual practices, praying, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
That you do in church.
And the unique perspective as a disabled person that we're missing if we're not inviting them into the conversation, mm-hmm. you know, and learning from them and saying, I see you as an asset here.
Yes.
What can I learn from you? How can we have a mutual relationship here of learning and growth together, not with this idea that one of us is better than the other and has more to offer.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the hierarchy thing of like, one is here just to help and you're mm-hmm. only the helpless to be mm-hmm. helped, you know, like I do feel like the impact that Sunflower, Macy, Ace, all the friends I made. Sorry, my chickens. All the friends I've made at Lighthouse taught me of just grace of how unimportant stuff and image is of this world. Like I just learned so much more richness, like core goodness and what I valued and what I loved so much more when I have people with disabilities in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like how much richer my worldview became and how much, I don't know. And yeah. how I feel like I could have missed that or I would have missed that had not the opportunity of, which is what I want to get to, a special needs program wasn't there, right? And then noticing how that I would notice, I'm like, oh, why is it different than what happens on Sunday? Mm-hmm. You know, like it's those steps that I still don't know how to get to when I'm a part of things as well. Like when I join special needs things, right? Mm-hmm. Like Sunny's going to do basketball. Oh, but I wish still there was, could she still be a part of our city basketball team? Right. Mm-hmm. There's just always that there's steps and then there's still that bridge that connects to, okay, great. There's a place. Thank you for acknowledging. This is amazing. And how can we continue to make it better? And I still feel that within the church space. Like, thank you creating this space. That's awesome. But now still the congregation doesn't fully know Sunny if she just shows up only in this space.
Yep. And if they don't know the Sunnies of the world, then they don't know God. There's no possible way.
Amen.
If you're listening to this and you feel rejected by the church, I just am sorry. And I hold that with you, and you're not alone in that. And I hope that you don't give up, but also take the space you need. That's, you know, take the space you need to maybe find another. There's people out there and spaces out there and good churches out there that have their intentions are good and they really are trying so hard. And I'm gonna say three things, okay? This is part of my talk and it's just fresh in my mind, but in talking about fostering belonging, this is what I'm looking for when I'm stepping into an environment, and especially a church environment. And this actually, these three things come from the ancient sacred text of my most recent book, which is neither ancient nor sacred, called Everyone Belongs. And so the three things are: assume competence. There's a line in my book where Macy and Truly say to different people, exactly who you are is exactly who we pick. So foundationally, what does it look like if when anybody walks through the door, we assume goodness, we assume competence, and we look at them, say exactly who you are is exactly who we pick. And that's our jumping off point. That's where we start. And then the next thing is, we're so happy you're here. You're in the right place. Truly says that all these kids walk up and if they can be a part of the show. And Truly says, we're so happy you're here. You're in the right place. And if we are extending an invitation then, so we're going to assume people as they show up are the best, exactly who are is exactly who we pick. And then we're going to extend that invitation when they walk in the room. We're so happy you're here. You're in the right place. And then what if, and we go to that next step. And I think about it even like in terms of, well, what if we start filling all the what ifs? Like, what if Mason walked into like a honors English class as an eighth grader reading sight words? Well, that'd be stupid to say we're so happy you're in the right place. Well, no, what if it was the teacher says, I'm so happy you're here in the right place, and not sit down, here's Shakespeare, but let me help you find the best ways for you. And maybe it isn't that exact spot, but when the attitude is, I'm so happy you're here, this is where you should be because I have something, because we can support one another. There's support here. And then the third thing is to being flexible and not putting the onus on disabled people. So at the end of Everyone Belongs, a wheelchair user walks up the stage, there's no ramp. And so Truly says the space is the problem, not how he gets around. And if we're willing as a church to say exactly who you are is who we pick, we're so happy you're here, you're in the right place as you are, and then realize, wait a second, the space might be the problem. And so what do we need to do to shift the space to work for this one person? And I think in terms of like a children's ministry, even like, what if it's this out of the world radical idea where it's like, well, we have this great program and it's so loud and these autistic kids it's too loud for them. So we have this other quieter space. Well, what if you just quieted down the whole space, right? Like, what if we asked everybody here to just, let's fix the space, not the kid with the disability. And I think if we can have those as like, again, it's foundational. It's not here's steps A through F, and then you have a place where the disability community is doing great at church. It's like, what's the foundation of your heart, mm-hmm. right? Can you see people with disabilities as good and say, you are good, come be a part of my life, you know, come be a part of my church. And if you do, things are gonna have to change, you know, mm-hmm. things are gonna have to shift and change so that people can belong, so that everyone can belong. And it's going to take creativity and some getting it wrong and humility and grace and saying, I'm sorry, and trying again. And we have the opportunity, you know, we all have the opportunity in our church spaces to do that. And I'm hopeful that more places will.
That was good, Heather.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. I think we should have an altar call now.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Close your eyes, please. Bow your head.
Every eye closed.
I would love to hear from our listeners who are a part of a disability ministry that you're like, they're getting it right. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear your thoughts if you emailed us or responded on social media or something. Because again, we know people are. I have not experienced it in a church, and I've been a part of the church my entire life, and my husband's been on staffs, and yeah, we've been in, I think all of us have been like in the church space in some regard. But I know it's out there,
mm-hmm.
and we have a lot to learn from each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love for us to have a second episode with questions and feedback from our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
And I would love for us to like run through those and hear from you guys. So let's really, you guys really should send in your thoughts. There's a church in my area that is known for its special needs ministry, and I've never been. It's a very big church, and I tend to avoid big churches. I agree with you, Heather. I would really love to hear about churches that are doing it right, doing it well.
All right. Any other last minute thoughts before we start to wrap this episode up and head to the good news? Anything else, ladies, that you just got to get off your chest?
It doesn't deter me from going to church.
Yeah.
But I can understand if it does for others. Mm-hmm. And it also, I don't want to start the ministry. So then it weighs all my heart then. Like, okay, no, I wanted to just come. But so maybe that's on other people's minds too. Just it's another place to have to advocate, you know? And maybe step up and do something, and you kind of don't want to.
Yeah.
I get that.
Well, and there's a level of like, we do a lot. we, the parents, do a lot already. So, yeah, I think the last thing I would want to say is just, I think reiterating how important I think it is for us to believe that people with disabilities, especially intellectual disabilities, are capable of growing in faith. And capable of service and capable of leading. And I really do feel like that's the heart of all of this, that we all need some heart surgery on ourselves to see our ableism in the way that we engage with people with disabilities in a faith space.
Yep. Yep. Yes and amen. Okay. We've just scratched the surface here, friends, and we'll keep this conversation going. And before we wrap it up, we're going to hear some good news in a minute. We'll be right back. Listeners and friends, I'm so excited to share with you. The National Down Syndrome Society, NDSS, is proud to present the Down Syndrome Advocacy Conference. It's going to be in Washington, D.C., April 17th to the 19th, 2023. So we are getting it to you early. Mark your calendars. Okay, listen to this. The conference includes optional pre-conference learning sessions on Monday, a full day of policy and advocacy trainings on Tuesday, and meetings with members of Congress on Capitol Hill on Wednesday. Talk about getting it done, friends. This is going to be such an amazing opportunity. And it is for people with Down syndrome and their families, caregivers, and loved ones to come together to advocate for nonpartisanship legislative priorities that impact the Down syndrome community. There's even a track for kids, so you can bring the entire family. And guess what, everybody? The Avis family is going to be there. That's right. NDSS has invited me and my entire family to join you for this event. I'm going to be speaking at it. The NDSS is also thrilled to be holding this conference in partnership with other national Down syndrome organizations, including the Advocacy Partner, the National Down Syndrome Congress. You do not need any previous experience in policy or advocacy to participate. This conference is for you, and there's scholarships available. To learn more, you can visit www.ndss.org/DSAC. I hope to see you there.
Time for good news, time for good news. Everybody, welcome to the good news. Yeah, yeah.
All right, Mercedes, Micah, do you have any good news? Oh, do you want to sing us in? Mercedes was about to start singing. She wasn't.
Okay. Yay, we've got good news today. Yay, we've got good news today. What do you say? What do you say? We got good news today.
Mercedes. You have been holding out, girl. She was doing some shoulder shimmies, y'all.
Oh.
Yes.
You are so hired.
Oh, my goodness. I love you guys. My greatest fans.
good news.
Sunflower has started musical theater, and it's really cute. I thought it was just going to be a dance class, but then there's some, like, They're expected to sing and dance. So
musical theater. Yes,
I know. I don't know why I didn't think this all through, but it's going great. And Sunflower is in it, and they do a lot of, which I'm like, actually, this is really good for you guys. They do a lot of, you know, mouth prepping and like, like warming up their throats. So she's like, me. I'm like, hey, we need to do this at home. This is good for your speech. Like,
it's awesome.
Great. Wow. And I think it's going to be really sweet. There's a great group of girls in there. And one of the girls has a baby brother with Down syndrome. So now I get to spend like 45 minutes in the waiting room with this baby boy who's so cute and his awesome mom. And I'm really excited about it. It's good news. Piggyback off of my news, there is a listener, Nimir. Do you think I'm saying that right? Nimir says she and her family just completed their home study and submitted it to the National Down Syndrome Adoption Network, which is so wonderful. That's the same network who got us connected with Sunflower. So that's fun.
Love that.
I have some good news too. So Ace, I said, is starting in the second grade general ed class. And last week, everybody got this homework that was like all about me, and they were supposed to put things in a bag and bring to the classroom. And the first day they said they were sending it home, and nobody sent it home for Ace. And so I quickly got on my email to the teacher and was like, by the way, Ace would like to participate in this as well. Send the homework. But we sent it to school, and I heard from the teachers that he, like, one of the skills he has been really into is swinging a ring around his finger. It's unbelievable, you guys. I can't wait for him to move on to hula hoops, because I think he's going to take it all the way to like America's Got Talent. Yes. He can spin this ring on his finger so quickly. And then he like switches to his thumb and he spins it on his thumb.
Ooh, we need a video of this.
Yeah, we do. And so I sent a ring in his little bag for him to show to the class, and he got to perform.
Yes.
I really love that so much.
Oh my gosh. I love it so much. Yes. You have to send a video, do a video. We'll post it on social. Yes, we need a video of Sunny and her theater class. All three of my kids are doing theater right now too. And it's the best. It's literally the best. How there is not, Mason and Truly are in a middle school theater class. How there is not a reality show about middle school theater class.
Oh my gosh.
You guys, we are sitting on a gold mine. Give me some consent forms and let me film. It is just all the things you imagine it should be. Middle school theater. It's all that's good in this world. All right, we're gonna wrap it up. If you have good news that you want to share, we love to hear from you guys. You can go to the Lucky Few podcast. You can go to email us at hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com. And then probably your best bet is to go to our Instagram page, The Lucky Few Pod, and leave us a direct message with your good news. We love hearing from you. And thank you, Josh Davis, for editing this episode, and to Val Schleter for producing it.
And if you liked this episode, you guys, please share with family and friends. We are always grateful when you share. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet.
And check out theluckyfewpodcast.com for show notes and all the things we talked about today. And oh yes, be sure to follow us on social media at The Lucky Few Pod and on Facebook.
All the places. And then listener,
all the places.
You are slaying it. Slaying it, slaying it. We love you so much. We're always here cheering you on. We can't wait to be together on another episode next week. Until then, Jesus loves you. Can we wrap like that?
And so do I.
And so do we. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, bless.
Oh, gosh. Baby. Farm life, you guys.
Oh, bless.
Especially if you don't know what you're doing.